get your iced tea, whatever it is, and your popcorn. We're going to have a great service tonight. I want to take a moment also and tell you something. This Sunday, you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss this Sunday. I don't know how it's all transpired. I can't even explain it to you. It's very unusual. But God has given me a revelation I've never seen or heard ministered on. It started when I was looking at Satan, Lucifer, his body, and I discovered that he had 9 gems inside of his body. And it made me to think of the 12 stones and the high priest ephod, and God began to unlock a revelation. I'll probably minister on it for the next few weeks. We're going to talk about the 4 different women, that the 4 wombs that were used to birth the 12 sons of Jacob, and we're going to talk about how that affects your life even today. So you don't want to miss this series. It's going to be a great series, and we start that this Sunday morning. But tonight, we're going to finish up on Nehemiah. We've been talking about these 7 enemies of our destiny out of the book of Nehemiah. And again, just a quick review. Nehemiah is a type of the Holy Spirit rebuilding our lives. The devil doesn't demolish us. He doesn't destroy us. He breaks us. And then once we're broken, he can traffic in and out of our lives. So the Holy Spirit comes to rebuild the broken places of our lives, to hang the gates again, to correct our eye gates, our ear gates, and all the different gates in our lives, to help us to be able to be all that we're called to be and be blessed. And so we're going to look at this final tactic, and I know there's probably several others, but these are the ones the Lord pulled out for me. And I want to look at this strategy tonight of divine, or the attack of divination. Let me explain divination just for a moment as we start. Divination is simply the imitation of the divine. The imitation of the divine. Spiritual activities that are outside the regulated guidance of the Holy Spirit or of scriptures. So this is what a divination is. It's something that is outside. It's an imitation of what would really be within the guidance of scripture. Okay, so anytime you have a spiritual experience that's not led by God, it's very, very dangerous. And if you go to these, there's all kinds of ways to have spiritual experiences. And they're very dangerous, and they can take you into a lot of different consequences. So let's read our text tonight. Nehemiah 6, beginning in verse 10. Afterwards, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of somebody else. These guys got some names. Who was a secret informer, and he said, "Let us meet together." Now, watch, he's a secret informer. We always have these secret people. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God. Now, notice where they're meeting, within the temple. And let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Then I perceived that God had not sent them at all. He perceived it. He discerned it. But that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Now, in our studies already, we've talked about these are the demonic spirits. They're manifested through men's lives, but they're spirits that are trying to attack him. It says, "For this reason, he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid." So I want to start off by again drawing your attention that they're now attempting to get him to come into the temple. This is a picture, if you will, of the whole of your temple, your spirit. So now he's moving it from anything that's an external attack, and they're bringing it into a spiritual attack in your temple. And they're using prophets for hire. These are people that would have been in the temple or around the temple. People that, let's just bring it to our terminology today, they would have been within the church. They're part of the circle of the influence of the church. And these are the people that they have convinced to use these words against Nehemiah. Nehemiah hears it. He hears the words that they speak. But as it sounds good at first, but as he starts talking to them, all of a sudden his spirit connects. And he discerns that it's not from God at all. But that these are false prophecies. And that these people have been paid to say it. And they're trying to detour him from his mission of completing the walls. So everything that is said in the name of the Lord is not necessarily in the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean that it's always coming from the Lord. Witchcraft in the Bible is not some witch over a black kettle stirring up a stew. It's not necessarily, you know, warts and witches' brews and goats' heads and all of that. That's not what it really is. It's when somebody tries to use something in a spiritual dynamic. They use spiritual means to try to control you. They'll use the words, "The Lord told me. I've been praying and God spoke to me." They start to use the, now understand, not every time somebody says that is it evil or wrong. It might actually be the Lord. But I'm trying to say to you, divination sounds the same way. It has the same sound. It has the same feel. It seems so spiritual. It seems so good. It seems so right. So it's when somebody, though, is taking what they want you to do and they're using God's clout to get you to do it. And that's what divination is. It's a controlling of your life. And it will take the Holy Spirit for you to be able to discern it sometimes. Sometimes it's so powerful because it's coming from somebody that you often respect. People that have been around the church or people that you've known. But it takes the Holy Spirit to protect us from false ministries and from false spiritual experiences. And so this is what our scripture is saying. And I want to repeat it again. Just because somebody says, "Thus saith the Lord," or that it's coming from God, you have to understand it may or may not be coming from God. And you're going to have the Holy Spirit to help you. Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 12, there are many voices. He tells us in both those passages, there's many voices, but there's only one Holy Spirit, and we've got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk for a moment about charismatic witchcraft as I start to lay a groundwork. Charismatic witchcraft is when the body of Christ, within the body of Christ, there's a prophecy, a sermon, a doctrine, a position that is used, but not by the Holy Spirit, but to bring about the agenda of men. And they're trying to bring about their agenda into people's lives. I know of a particular group, God help them, they have used the idea of armor bearers to actually do horrible, horrible things to young people, all in the name of being an armor bearer. Very sexually perverted, very horrible things that have happened, all in the name of being an armor bearer. So you have to understand, this is a type of witchcraft. It's in the disguise of spirituality, but really it's not spiritual at all. It's taking somebody away from the doctrines of the pure doctrines of the Word of God, and it's controlling them to get them to do something that some man or woman or whatever, human, wants them to do to control their lives. I heard one just a few weeks ago, and it wasn't in this church. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But it was this guy tells this girl, "The Lord has spoke to me. He showed me in a dream that you're to be my wife." Okay, well, wait a minute. Does the Lord really need, do you need to use the Lord to talk her into being your wife? Why don't you just say, "Look, I got the hots for you. Do you have the hots for me?" It doesn't have to be so spiritual, and you don't have to use God's clout to make it happen. Here's another scary one that people use all the time. "The Lord told me that we should go into business together." Be careful when people use the Lord to enforce an agenda that profits them. I'm not saying that the Lord won't speak to you about business, but be careful because that type of verbiage, that type of idea can quickly become manipulation, and it can quickly become divination, and it can quickly become very dangerous. When pastors start using their own agendas over the pulpit, they start preaching things that aren't really biblical, and they say, "Thus saith the Lord," over the pulpit. It's very dangerous, and that's where pastors get in trouble when they start that type of stuff. So let me repeat this again. This does not mean that we disregard or we're suspicious of everything anybody says. I'm not here to try to create suspicion. I'm not here to try to create a great concern. I'm saying you need the Holy Spirit. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies." It tells us not to do it. They're great. But he says, "Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." So the Holy Spirit in you, that's what I'm trying to say to you, will awaken an agreement to the things that God is saying. He'll awaken it. If it's not from God, the Holy Spirit won't agree. If you don't feel nothing, then there's no agreement. Okay, when the Holy Spirit agrees, you'll know it. You'll feel a quickening of it. The Bible says he will bear witness. Bear it. He'll bear down on it. You'll bear a witness. You'll know it's God. If it's not God, you won't feel that witness. You won't feel that quickening in your spirit. And so you have to be careful to discern right words that are spoken with a wrong agenda. Let me give you an example in the Bible of what I'm talking about. Paul and Barnabas. The Bible says they were daily going down to the temple. And each day they passed by this little girl who was a fortune-telling girl, slave girl, had a spirit in her. And she was amazing, and she would cry out in divination to people. And she made her masters a lot of money doing it. She was good at what she did. And as Paul and Barnabas are walking by, she cries out, "These are servants of the Most High God." That's the word she used. Now that's true. That's who they were. She was right. But it was coming from a wrong spirit. Now, that's what I want you to hear. Ministry is not always based on right words. Ministry is based on spirit. Churches are very, very spiritual. There's an impartation that happens from a pulpit. Just because you have somebody in a pulpit that has the right words doesn't mean they're imparting the right spirit. Okay? Because if I'm up here and I've got a foul spirit on me and saying the right things, in a little while you're going to have a foul spirit on you. Doesn't matter what words I said all the time. It's spiritual. There's an impartation that is happening in the spirit arena. In the New Testament, the word for witchcraft, I'm going to shift subjects just for a moment so we can move quickly here, is the word pharmakei. It's the word we get pharmacy from. Now, in early times, way back long time ago, and even today, herbs and minerals and drugs have been used to give mental and spiritual experiences. In times past, people that had the art, knew the art of which drug to give you a spiritual experience, these were called sorcerers. Today, they have different names. You can go out to the Native American reservations and you can get in a little mud hut and you can wear a little leather sling on your body and you can climb in there and they can give you peyote and certain other strychnine and different things, herbs that they know. And I'm telling you, you'll have a spiritual experience. You will go into a whole other arena. You'll think you're a snake or a wolf or a skunk or something else. They're called medicine men. And they know exactly how to mess with your spirit. They're black magic experts. And so throughout time, witchcraft has used drugs with it. These are illicit drugs. These are not drugs that have been prescribed to help you physically. These are drugs prescribed to mess with your mind. They're an illegal pathway into spiritual experiences. That's why when you go by bars today, they'll have the word on the outside, you know, spirits. And the reason that word got put on bars is because people saw things when they were high or when they were drunk that they knew that they wouldn't have seen if they hadn't been high or drunk. So the alcohol and the drugs caused them to have a spiritual experience that nobody else, that they would have never had on their own. It was a spiritual thing. And so I'm trying to tell you that divination and spirits are very involved in life. And they're very dangerous when they're unguarded and when they're unguided by the Holy Spirit. So whenever somebody says something to you, whenever somebody suggests something to you, whenever you're in a dangerous place, you need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I really believe that one of the reasons I ended up with liver disease is because I opened myself to a spiritual experience that I didn't know I was sick. At the time, I had hepatitis C. They didn't even know what that was. I was in the jungles of the Philippines, and this young Filipino doctor came and offered me 5 different needles. I had my choice out of a shoebox. To which one did I want the shot? He thought I had malaria. He's going to shoot a shot, which he did, into my stomach. The Holy Spirit did not agree with that. I felt the Holy Spirit tell me not to do it. But at the same time, I could feel my life passing from me. I felt a spirit of death. I knew I was going. I could feel it. I was hot. I was sick. I was laying there in a jungle. I didn't know which way to go. I was losing consciousness. And yet, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me not to do it, but I did it. And I think that's what caused me to end up 12 years with a liver disease. I don't know how God would have restored me. I don't know if he would have restored me. But I did not feel the Holy Spirit agree with what I did. And so you have to be careful when it comes to sorceries, when it comes to divination, when it comes to people's words. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is you have to do exactly what Nehemiah did. It sounded so good. It came from people that he knew, prophets that he knew. It sounded right, but you have to have an agreement of the Holy Spirit in your heart. If the Holy Spirit doesn't agree with it, you need to be careful. Now, the most graphic embodiment of witchcraft in the Bible is a woman by the name of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel, we always look at it as a gender-related spirit. But as I've pastored now for over 40 years, I can tell you that there's as many male Jezebels as there are female Jezebels. Spirits don't have gender. It's the way it conducts itself. Listen to 1 Kings 19:1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of the lives of them by tomorrow about this time. So how did she release her witchcraft? By words. It was words. Words will release witchcraft. She spoke these words by tomorrow. Now, they can be written. I've read letters, had people write to me text and different things. And when you read it, your spirit will not bear witness. Your spirit knows something's bad. Something's off in this letter or in these words. Witchcraft is being loosed into your spirit. It's trying to get into your temple. It goes on to say in verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him. And the angel said to him, arise and eat. So I want to take just a quick moment here and say to you, when you come under the attack of witchcraft or divination or a sorcery, many times if you don't let the Holy Spirit get involved, you'll diagnose it improperly. You won't diagnose it right. You'll miss it. And there's five symptoms of witchcraft in the passage we just read that I'd like to bring to your attention. So if you're ever under an assault or you feel like you're under an assault, you can maybe discuss, you can find this. If you look in the text, there was a great fear that came upon him. Now, here's a man who had just defeated all these prophets and chopped off their heads. I mean, this is a powerful warrior man, and yet he's filled with fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety are a sign that there's a witchcraft being loosed. Now, let me ask you about our culture today in America. Do you think there might be a little fear and anxiety going on? I would say that that would be a symptom of something bigger than a politician, but we would call it witchcraft and divination. Okay, it's working in our nation right now. Then he falls into the trick of isolation. Listen to me, whenever you feel like being alone and you feel you're under an attack, don't be alone. Don't be alone. Go find somebody. I don't care how uncomfortable you feel about it. Go find somebody. Don't sit around alone. That's what he did. It's a bad thing to do. We are in the year, the Hebrew year of the mouth. And it's funny that this is the year that they put a mask over all of our faces. Silence of the lambs. And it's an isolation tactic to keep us all separated, to keep us apart, keep us from connecting. It's a spiritual, I'm telling you, witchcraft. Third thing, he becomes disillusioned and becomes depressed. We have an 800% increase in suicides right now in our country. So there's a spirit that is released through words. That word got a hold of him, made him fearful and anxious and isolated, and he was depressed and even wanted to kill himself. It says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. Notice the connection between the tongue and a weapon. Okay, tongues, the way people say things, the text you read, the notes that they send to you, their innuendos in their words. Sometimes the person might even be innocent in what they're saying. They might be being used as a pawn by the devil himself. Sometimes you just have to walk away and break that curse with your own words. You have to speak back to it. You have to declare, only God's word will triumph in my life. I'm not going to listen to any of that. I'm not buying into any of that. I don't care who said what. I don't care if it's my mama, my daddy, my preacher, my politician, my doctor, my enemy. I don't care who said it. I ain't buying it. Sometimes you have to rise up. And you have to realize there's a connection. And if you don't deal with it, suicide can start to happen. And if it's a suicidal spirit, here he's sitting under a tree to asking God to help him kill himself. He doesn't even have enough guts to do it himself. And he's asking God to help him do it. Whenever you feel that spirit, can I tell you, kick it out right away. And if you have to call somebody, don't let that spirit play with you. That's a real witchcraft that works in your life. And then here's one that will sneak up on you and you don't even realize it's come on you. It's the fifth one. And that's the unusual physical fatigue. Physical fatigue. It's just you're wore out all the time and don't even know why. Pentecostal witchcraft is the way that fatigue gets into a Christian. Now, let me explain how that works. Pentecostal witchcraft or white witchcraft is when somebody that you love, that loves you, is praying against you without you even knowing it or maybe them even knowing it. What it is they're praying for you other than the will of God. For example, somebody starts praying, oh God, I pray that you will dissolve their marriage because I want to marry them. Okay, that's other than the will of God. It's when a mother or a father prays other than the will of God. They mean well. God, don't let this happen to my son, when yet that's what God wanted to happen. Or God, don't do this. Now I'm talking about things that are that if it's a biblical moral conduct that you're praying about, that's fine. If it's something that's in the Bible, but I'm talking about those off the wall things like God, don't let him get a job, don't let him have that employment, don't do this, God, don't do that. Things that aren't defined so well. And if God, listen, if the Holy Spirit's in them doing it, and you're praying other than that, you're releasing what's called white witchcraft against your own family member. And so what happens is that person that that's being released against starts feeling great fatigue. So it's somebody that you love that's praying things that they mean well. Many times, sometimes they don't mean well, but most of the time they mean well when they're prayers. And all of a sudden, the way I recognize it is I start feeling great fatigue. And I realize somebody's praying something that's not the will of God. They're asking God to do something. I break their words. I have to speak against those things. See, it's the deception. God, how many of you know the devil's really good at deception? He'll have you praying stuff that he never, and he's just pounding you to death with it. Back in high school, we had a silly little game. It was a dumb game. We were high school kids. What can you say? But the idea was you blindfolded two different guys, and you're going to have a pillow fight, right? They're both blindfolded. They're going to pillow fight. But one guy doesn't know that the other guy, right when they get ready to start, you're going to take the blindfold off of one of them. So you take the blindfold off the guy that's in the know, and he just pounds the devil out of that other guy. And the other guy doesn't know he's still got his blindfolds on. He's still swinging. That's exactly what the devil does to people. He blindfolds you, and then he pounds you to death. But we're commissioned to be overcomers. Can somebody say amen to that? Jesus came to turn on the light. He came to take off your blindfold. So that you can see, so that you can win. So when you start to feel fatigued and suicidal and depressed and discouraged and fearful and anxious and you just don't want to be around nobody, you start to feel those things. It's a witchcraft that is working. It's a divination. Somewhere it's coming in. I don't know where. It could be somebody's praying something other than the will of God. It could be that you've heard things or you received things into your spirit. Somehow you've opened your spirit without the Holy Spirit's agreement and you've let it come in and it started to build within your life. Amen. You've got to learn to talk back to the devil. Your words have power. Look at your neighbor and say, your words have power. David and Goliath. Here they are. Goliath has been 40 days and 40 nights intimidating Israel with what? Words. 40 days. That means he has said the same thing 80 times. 80 times he's pounded them, 80 times. David shows up, we know the story, I'm not going to preach all that, and he just prophesies right back to him. He just comes right back at him with his words. Everybody else is just letting Goliath's words beat them. David says, no, I got a confession I want to make about my God, and he confesses it right back. And he fights right back, and he brings a victory to the battlefield. So I want to say this to you. When you're getting ready to go into a surgery, or some kind of a medical thing. Confess healing. Confess a bright future. Confess. Don't go, oh no, I always have a hard time with anesthesia. I hope I come out of this. Wrong confession. Don't say that stuff. Rise up and say the right thing. When you're going into a courtroom in a legal battle, confess victory. I don't care what it is. Whatever you're facing, you've got to learn your words will break the power of that witchcraft. You don't have to be disillusioned, anxious, worried, fearful. You can rise up and you can speak and prophesy. My children will be saved. Prophesy it. Speak it. Our marriage will be healed. Our finances will flourish. My mind will be renewed. And you have to fight back. Your words are powerful. And when somebody says something that's off, and your spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, registers that's not right, that something's off in that, you don't have to be hateful to the person. You don't have to say you're a witch. You don't have to do that. Just don't accept their words as truth. Don't accept their words as truth. And depending on the setting, you might need to speak right back to it. You might need to correct it with your words. Listen to me. Here's what I want you to hear. You decide. Everybody, you decide what enters into your life. You cannot blame me for it. You can't blame somebody else for it. You decide what you let in. It's on you. And so whatever you decide to let in will stay in. And whatever you decide to drive out will leave. It's your call. You have within you a greater power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you will quicken the Holy Spirit in your life, you can drive out any witchcraft, any lie that's been brought against you. Now, I learned when I was ministering in the reservation that the medicine men would speak against us and pray against us. How I discovered it affected me. It affects people differently. But I would get up to preach, and it was like I went into a bubble. It's like my words weren't getting beyond the pulpit for reals. It was spiritual. I was so drained. I could read my notes, and I couldn't even read them. I was just down. I was out. Once I realized it, I would just step up in the pulpit. If I felt that, I would just look up and say, I bind the powers of witchcraft today, and I release the holy word of God. Boop, it was off. It was over. Just that quick, and I could preach the sermon. Because I exposed the power of the enemy. You've got to fight back. Listen to what it says. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. So again, you use the Holy Spirit to test them. Don't use your intellect. Don't use your what you've learned in the past and what you've known all your life. Because every time... The devil is getting wiser day after day after day. His game is changing, but the Holy Spirit's got an advantage on him every time. Amen. So you test it with the Holy Spirit, not with what's happened in your past, not your experience, not your intellect, the Holy Spirit. Now here's a problem. Some of us in this room, some of those by hearing me by a digital means tonight, you might be carrying a big monkey on your back. You really might. Maybe your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your grandma, your crazy aunt, your nutty uncle, I don't know, somebody in your family is into divination and you don't know about it. Maybe they're doing tarot cards. Maybe they're driving by and they don't want nobody to know and they're stopping at that psychic. That's all. You know those psychics you see up and down the road? They stay in business with somebody. Somebody's going in there. Maybe they're doing Ouija boards. Maybe they're doing some kind of Dungeons and Dragons. It's really popular, really easy today. All you got to do is get online and you can do all that stuff. Maybe you yourself went to a psychic. Maybe you just got really down and depressed, so you went to a psychic. And maybe even when you walked out, you laughed and said, what a joke. Listen to me. You can't prevent yourself from being defiled when you're in the presence of divination and you open your life to it. The moment you walked in there, you had opened your spirit. Your temple was open. You might have thought it was a joke, but you should have never been there. That's not a joke. Those are not places you play. And if your grandma or your grandpa, I found out a while back that my grandmother figured out which church to go to by a Ouija board with a pastor. The pastor and her did a Ouija board, and of course, it led her to his church. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You enter into blessings or cursings by believing, and the only reason you went there is you believed in something, you opened your mind to something, and you allowed it to come in, and you felt, the reason you went there is you felt you were losing. You had that tattoo on your arm, born to lose. Right over it, born to win. Amen, somebody. You were not born to be emotionally tormented. You were not born to be physically defeated. You were born to be blessed. And you've got to get that in your spirit. And the reason you might be fighting to get that in your spirit is because somebody in your family has put a monkey on your family's back. And somewhere you're going to have to discover that. And if you're not sure about it, speak against it anyway. If it's there, it'll break. You don't have to know everything that's going on in your family. The Holy Spirit knows that. Amen. But you can release the Holy Spirit to go out and stop it. And in fact, the Bible says you can send it back sevenfold from where it came from. Here's what Balaam prophesied, Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do so? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Church, you're blessed, and it can't be reversed. And you've got to get that in your spirit. I don't care if you feel fatigued, isolated, tired, depressed. You're blessed. And it cannot be reversed. The blessing will overtake the curse. Stand up and release it out of your mouth. I'm blessed. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness with that. It'll bear witness with that. You'll have to fight for some things. Over the years, I've had to fight over family things that were ingrained into our family, things that I've never shared with you and never will share, but things that were there, and I've learned that I can get a hold of the Holy Spirit, and I can speak God's words, and I'm blessed, and I can break the curse. Numbers 23:23 says, for there's no sorcery. Remember what we talked about? Against Jacob, and there's no divination. Against Israel, I don't care what medicine man, I don't care what black magic artist, I don't care. There's no divination against the children of God. Take off your blindfold, pick up your authority, start to fight back, resist the devil and he will flee. You can win this battle. You can win this battle. It might take you a day, might take you 2 days, but you can shake it off and you can fight back. You don't have to lay down and take it. Are you hearing me tonight, church? Those online, I hope you're hearing it in your front room. There was a little woman that came to a pastor friend of ours. She had this little box. And in the box, when you open it up, was all these little, what do you call them, amulets? Little demon god carved out little idol things. She had a box full of them. She was absolutely terrified. She was terrified when she came to this pastor. She said, listen, these have been in my family for years, and they are full of power, and they're full of witchcraft, and I don't know what to do with them. I'm afraid if I throw them away, that a curse will come on me, and she was afraid. And she handed them to the pastor, and the pastor looked at him, and he just took the box, kind of tossed it up like that, let it hit the floor, and did a drop kick. Boom. That box flew across the room. Those little items went scrangling all over the floor. She fell down on the ground, screamed out. She thought she was going to drop dead. And then she realized she was still alive. The devil had duped her all along. Amen. He began to pray. The power of God came in that room. She was filled with a different spirit. Amen. Called the Holy Spirit. Listen. I want you to hear what I'm saying. When if the devil can find somebody in a position of authority or influence, a mother, a father, a preacher, a politician, anybody in a position of authority or influence who is spiritually immature, uninformed, or neutral, just in a neutral format, the enemy notices that they're dumb. And he will send a controlling spirit to that person that's in authority and begin to counsel them with false counsel. So that spirit had counseled her entire family that if they dropped or got rid of that box, they would die. So for years, because of their ignorance, the family had been held in bondage by a box of wooden carvings. This is why we need to pray for those in our politics, our government, our cities, and our businesses. Because they're in positions of influence, and they're ignorant to the spiritual things going on around them. They have no idea of the witchcraft that's released right now in the not just in our nation, around the globe. God is aligning the world. God is moving in a great and a powerful way, but they're ignorant to all of that, and they're making decisions that affect people's lives. They've got people doing things that are completely ignorant, away from God, fear-filled, full of anxiety. They've got people in isolation. They have no clue as to what they're doing. Listen to me, I'm not mad at them. I'm saying the church needs to pray. I can't help that they're spiritually ignorant, but you're not. You're not ignorant, amen. We are not ignorant. We have to rise up. We have to stand up. We have to say no more. We have to begin to pray that God will not allow those counselors with ulterior motives and agendas to come around them. That's why God raises up Daniels. That's why God raises up Esthers, people that can stand up in wisdom in such places of people that have influence and have no wisdom as to what they're doing. Pharaoh didn't have a clue what he was doing. God sent Joseph. We need to pray that God will send the right people to come beside them to break the power of the counselors that are there giving them wisdom that are not even godly people. Jezebel used false prophets. She used sexual immorality. She used threats. She used violence. She used accusations. She used idolatry. She used deception. She used all kinds of things to control. And guess who she had beside her? Ahab. Weak little Ahab. Ooh, I made somebody nervous. She was supported by that. What we need to do is say, God, help us to send the right people to our leaders that will support them with a Daniel and an Esther spirit. Not an Ahab spirit. God, raise up people. And if there's somebody around there, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking spiritual now. I'm talking spiritual. God, if we need be, raise up a mighty man of God. Raise up a Jehu that will go in and get rid of this stuff and stop this stuff and overcome the divination. God, raise up your men in the community. Amen. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Who is them? The spirits of divination, controlling spirits. Because here's how you've done it. He who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. Somebody shout greater. That's what we have. We have a Holy Spirit that will help us discern. We have a Holy Spirit that will help us to, we'll know, we'll bear witness with it. We'll feel it. Philip, I'm almost done. Which time do I got? I'm out of time. Philip was a church-going guy. He had got to be a deacon at the church. He was an usher at the church. He wasn't an ordained leader. It's in Acts, the 8th chapter. He's on his way traveling through Samaria, and he finds an entire town bewitched by a guy named Simon the Sorcerer. What does he do? He preaches Christ. He casts out devils. He heals the sick. You know what happens to the whole city? Joy. The Bible says the whole city is filled with joy. And even Simon the old sorcerer believed. Pistuio means he believed unto salvation. That's the word the Bible used. Now, later he was again corrupted and fell back away. But what I'm trying to say to you, one obscure deacon set an entire city free of witchcraft because you've got more authority in your little finger than the greatest sorcerer in town. You've got power, and the Holy Spirit broke the power of that sorcerer because one man had enough guts to stand up and use words and preach. Amen. Paul and Barnabas are on the Isle of Patmos in Acts, the 13th chapter. They come across the sorcerer. This guy's name is Bar-Jesus. He's a Jew. He's actually one of the people of God. But he's a counsel. Now, note what did I just tell you earlier? The enemy will send in a counselor to those in power. This guy is a sorcerer, and he's the counsel to a Roman leader. Now, this Roman leader's open, and he asked Paul, tell me more about your Jesus. And as soon as he does it, this spirit, this witchcraft, Bar-Jesus guy, starts whispering in his ear, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. They're nuts. They don't do right. He starts just telling them all kinds of stuff. Paul gets filled with a righteous indignation. And Paul eventually challenges that witch. And he says, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but he says, you're a child of the devil. And you will not cease from perversing the straight ways of the Lord. In other words, you're going to keep this up. You're not going to stop. You're a witch, he calls him. He just says, you're a devil. And then he says, you're going to be blind for a season. And immediately that witch went blind. The Bible says he couldn't see nothing for a season. You know what? When he went blind, when his eyes went from black to gray and he couldn't see, guess what that Roman leader said? Paul, sign me up. I want to hear more what you got to say. Amen. He wanted to sign up. Listen, we want to see a revival in this town? Break the power of witchcraft over this city. It's a spirit. I'm almost done. Psalms 124 says, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us to prey to their teeth or to their words. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Can somebody shout amen? I declare every snare broken that's in your life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't care where you're at. I rebuke divination. I don't care how long it's been in your family. I don't care what your mama, your aunt, your uncle, your friend has told you. I rebuke every controlling spirit that tries to control your life. I rebuke every family curse, every word ever spoken into your spirit that does not align with God's word. I declare the Holy Ghost and the works of God to manifest in your life. Amen. Whew, you got me preaching. I'm sorry, folks. I just felt like the Holy Ghost came on me. Listen, God set somebody free. It's hard when it's your family because you love them. They're ignorant. They're being used sometimes. You can't separate from them. That's your mama. It's your daddy. But you can stand up in your spirit. You can plead the blood over your life. You can ask God to guard your gates, to guard what you hear and what you see. And you can speak God's life into that place. And when you start speaking God's life into that place, you'll break the power of divination. Amen. Somebody say amen. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. I'm going to just obey God just for one moment and we'll be done. Thank you for bearing with me. There's somebody in this room or listening to me, maybe in both places, in this room and listening to me online, that you're having nightmares on a regular or semi-regular basis. I break the curse of night consciousness that's attacking you. I rebuke the fear and the torment. I release the name of Jesus. Jesus into your spirit, into your mouth. When that thing comes to torment, you say, Jesus! And you break that spirit. You turn it around. I declare your mind and your spirit free. I declare you free because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God has freed you, and I free you in the name of Jesus according to the word of God. And I know you feel it in your spirit. Your spirit man is bearing witness. Now let the Holy Spirit rise within you. Let the Holy Spirit rise up and agree and bear witness with your spirit. And overcome any words, any divination, any sorcery, any work of man, any agenda of hell. Overcome it in the mighty name of Jesus. I free you in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise wherever you're at. Give the Lord a praise. Right there in your front room, just say, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.